Well, a couple weeks ago, we talked about resisting fear, and I didn't really cover everything I wanted to cover, didn't get to exactly where I wanted to. And so there's some things I want to emphasize. We're going to reiterate some things. It's been a couple weeks and go over this, but there's some things I want to specifically emphasize here. So let's look at 2 Timothy 1:1. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, a beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So Paul is encouraging Timothy here to stir up what he already has. Verse 6 says, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Timothy has evidently said, you know, mindful of your tears. Timothy is evidently being pressed, pushed, and Paul is exhorting him, you need to stir up what is already on the inside of you, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Verse 7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. He's exhorting him, saying, you have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. In the NLT, verse 7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. Hebrews 2, verse 14, we went over. These, we're just going to go over a lot of these same scriptures, but there's some things I want to bring out, emphasize this morning. Hebrews 2, 14 says, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself, that's Jesus, likewise shared in the same, means he became like us, flesh and blood in a body, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So it says Jesus, he shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. Now here, notice it says, he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. Notice it says he had the power of death. He doesn't have it, but it said that he would destroy him. You say, well, the devil is still around. That word destroy. I remember one of my instructors when we were at Rhema bringing this out. He said, it's like you, it means to render useless. It'd be like if you had a parking lot. We were just at a place when we were in Pennsylvania, and they were about ready, they were going to do some paving. And so they were ripping up the old pavement. Well, if you break it up, like or a parking lot, road, or whatever, you break it up, you jackhammer it, it's destroyed. It's not in its regular or its original state. It's not really useful for a parking lot or a road anymore, but it's still there. But it's destroyed. It's broken up. And that's what this means. You put that back up again, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. Well, it's still, the devil is still there. He has a right to be on the earth. His time will come where he's going to be thrown into the lake of fire and it's done. But that's not today. So he has a right to be on the earth. Through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So fear brings bondage. Fear makes you a slave. And this says that we were freed, released, that those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. And the CEB version said, he set free those who were held in slavery their entire lives by the fear of death. Fear of dying, but fear of loss. Fear of death, you have death in all kinds of areas. Fear of dying, that's a fear. Fear of loss in any area. It brings you into bondage. It brings you or me, whoever it is, it makes us a slave. In other words, you won't do what you believe you should do because you're afraid of something, and so you're being led by something other than the Lord. And that's slavery. What if you are following something else and being bound? Not even following, you're bound. You can't do anything else. Fear will make it so you feel you don't have a choice to do anything else but what that fear is telling you to do. Well, that's a bad place, because fear is not of God. Fear is of the devil. And when we, if we yield to fear, we make ourselves slaves of the devil, of Satan, even if you're a Christian. You're not technically under his authority, but if we don't do something about it, If we yield ourselves, we are under that control. If we are yielding to fear, that means giving place to fear, then we are subject to the author of fear, which is Satan. In other words, he can lead us by fear because we're slaves of it. In the Amplified Classic, it says, and also he might deliver and completely set free all those who through the haunting fear of death were held in bondage through the whole course of their lives. Fear is a, because its author is Satan, is a bad taskmaster. And it will never go away unless we do something about it. It will stay your whole life, my whole life. And if we're waiting for it just to go away, we're waiting in vain. Leave me alone. Stop it. That'll never happen. In and of itself. Just like it'll stop, we got to do something with it. This is what we're talking about, emphasizing. We got to push back on it. Romans 8:15 says, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. And the Amplified says, for the spirit which you have now received is not a spirit of slavery to put you once more in bondage to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, the spirit producing sonship in the bliss of which we cry, Abba, Father. In the NIV, it says, the spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. So the spirit we receive does not make us slaves. You know, in 2 Timothy, it says, you have not been given a spirit of fear. Well, that spirit is not. We haven't been given a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. That's not a spirit to slavery. That's not a spirit of fear. Fear makes you a slave. The spirit which we've received makes us free. But it's not automatic. I said it's not automatic. The spirit we've received, there's freedom there. It's not a spirit of slavery. It's not a spirit that puts you into bondage, but it's not automatic. Just because we've been born again, we've trusted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we have the Holy Spirit residing on the inside of us, the power of God indwelling us. It is not automatic that you walk in all that God has provided for you, or I walk in all that God has provided for me. It's not automatic. I wish it were. But this will answer questions, and this applies across the board. We're focusing on fear, but this what we're talking about, it applies across the board when we're dealing with the things of God and what He has given us and what He has provided for us. We've got to know that what He has provided for us, given us, made available, done in us, has been provided, has been made available, but it doesn't mean that we automatically partake of it. If it did, everybody would automatically have everything that the Bible promises the moment they were born again. But it's not up to God. If everything were up to God, everybody would be born again right now, would have already happened, and we'd be out of here. We'd be with God. That's God's will. But that's not what is going on in the earth. People reject God. People reject Jesus. And God is patient and long-suffering. And that's why we're still here on the earth. But even as we become born again, even as we trust God, the things of God are not automatic. That's why people can say, well, what? That person's a Christian. Why don't I see this? Why that doesn't line up with the Bible? That's because we have something to do with it. God will cooperate with us. He's made it available, but we have to believe His word and do what His word says for it to become active and real in our lives. And if we're waiting for it just to become active and real, we're going to be disappointed. And you know, if we believe that it's all up to God, that inevitably, that belief system inevitably leads to resentment to God. Because if it's all up to God and I'm not seeing what He has provided in my life, you cannot arrive at any other conclusion but it's God's fault. And then people get resentful and they say, well, God, why did you do this? Why did you let this happen? That answer to so many questions is God's not the one doing it. If we understand the balance of the Word of God and that God has provided things He's given Him, but we have got to cooperate with Him, it'll answer so many things. It will show us, enlighten our path so that we can cooperate. You say, well, you mean I have something to do with it? That could seem like bad news. No, actually, it's good news because I can cooperate with Him. That doesn't mean it's all up to me. If it were all up to me, that's bad news because we can't do it. The good news is He already did it. Now I just got to believe Him and cooperate with Him. And that, see, I have the authority in my life. You have the authority in your life to allow God to work in our lives. Nobody else can do it for you. You can't do it for me. Sometimes we make a mistake of trying to do it for other people. You can't. You can't believe for other people. You can't believe for me. God gave every person a free will. So in this area, fear, we need to do something when we sense fear. And I'm going to go over this real quick. I read a lot of stuff just to give us a really clear picture. And I'm going to read, I think I'll just read these things over for those that weren't there. And it just brings it home. You know, these things are all from the Merriam-Webster Dictionary. But as far as fear, people say, well, I'm just not afraid. But it takes so many forms. So before we go further, I just want to be clear on the breadth of what we're talking about. So fear, just the definition, is emotion experienced in the presence or threat of danger, an uneasy state of mind, usually over the possibility of an anticipated misfortune or trouble. So notice, it's experienced in the presence of an actual threat, but it's also in the possibility of something that's anticipated. In other words, if you think there's some danger there, you experience fear, even if there's nothing to fear in reality. But we'll experience the same. There could be nothing, absolutely nothing. We're in danger of no harm, but we can experience fear as if we were that the harm was imminent because it's our perception. But this is what I want to just go over quickly. Synonyms for fear. alarm, anxiety, dread, fright, horror, panic, terror, strain, stress, tension, anguish, desperation, discomfort, dismay, distraction, disturbance, edginess, franticness, hand-wringing, jitters, jumpiness, angst, torment, upset, vexation, doubt, foreboding, suspense, uncertainty. Those are all related synonyms for fear. It's a broad range. And antonyms for fear show us what exactly it is not. Assurance, boldness, confidence, bravery, courage, daring, fortitude, valor, audacity, nerve, calmness, content, ease, easiness, peace, peacefulness, quietness, sereneness, serenity, tranquility, comfort, consolation, relief, solace. And an antonym for fear, those were near antonyms, an antonym for fear, it has one, it's unconcern. We said this last week, if you want to really tick somebody off that's trying to make you afraid, you just laugh in their face, just be like, yeah, whatever. Because that means you are absolutely not afraid. You know, you got two opponents coming out. The one guy just laughs at the other one, goes, yeah, whatever. That means the other guy couldn't do it. Remember David and Goliath? Goliath laughed at David. Well, that didn't end well for him. But he wasn't afraid. He should have been, but he wasn't. So no, the fear is all across the board. It is not just a certain degree. All these are fear to degrees. And I take the time to go over that again now because as we go into this next part, we need to understand that any hint of that, we need to do something with it. Look at 1 Peter 5, verse 8. We're going to go over some more verses in some other areas. But 1 Peter 5, 8, before we go further, it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world." Go back to verse 8. It says, "Be sober, be vigilant. Be on your guard. Be aware. Be alert. Because your adversary, the devil," do you understand? We need to understand that we have an adversary. He is not a figment of people's imagination. There is one called Satan. There is a devil. He is the enemy of God. And he hates God's people. And he does everything he can to stop people from knowing God. And like we said earlier, God, he will eventually be dealt with completely, but right now he has a right to be here on the earth, and he goes about deceiving people, and he goes about pushing on people. One of the ways he pushes on people is fear. He is the author of fear. God, there is no fear in the presence of God. There's peace. There's calm. There's strength. There is no fear. All those things you read, there's none of that in God's presence. When you're focused on Him, there's no fear. Just think, when you're in the presence of somebody you trust in a safe place, there's no fear. The fear comes because you think there's danger. There's no danger with God when you're His child and you're with Him in His presence. Amen. Satan is the author of fear. And so anything that's of the devil, anything that's of Satan, we need to do something with it. Let's read verse 8 again. "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." He can't devour everybody. If he could, he'd already done it. If he could just take out everybody at will, he would have killed everybody on the earth. He's trying. But he can't. But he will try to make you think he can. He torments you. The torment, the slavery, this is one of the ways he controls people, is by fear. So it says, he seeking whom he may devour, verse 9, resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Resist him. Look at James 4, 7. It says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So submit to God, that means put yourself under God, do what the Lord, what God would say. Resist the devil. So first, do what God says, submit to him, and then resist the devil, and the Bible says he will flee from you. The devil will flee from you as a Christian. Notice the first part is it says submit to God. If we're going to think we're going to do whatever and be on the devil's territory, just do whatever in the world, we're going to disobey God, we're going to violate what we know, what we see in the Word and decide, well, I'm just going to do this and then I'm going to resist the devil, we're fooling ourselves because we're already yielding to the devil. That makes sense? If we go and decide, well, I know what the Bible says, but I don't really care about it. I'm going to do that anyway. And then we get in the Bible, we're like, but I'm going to resist the devil. We're already on the devil's turf. And that's not to make us scared. That's to make us sober. Because that's foolish. That's not wise. Now, God's merciful and gracious, but sometimes we're in a position because we didn't listen to God. And so we're in a position, now we're trying to resist the devil when we just yield. We walk right down the road. He opened the door. We followed him. Then we get in the Bible and go, oh, wait, now I resist you. And he's going, you just followed me here. Again, not to beat us up, no condemnation, but we need to have our eyes open. Because if we're going to get to this part, we need to understand, if we're going to resist, we need to understand that we don't want to be yielding, giving way at the same time, and then being trying to resist because we're trying to play both sides. We're giving way, but we're trying to resist the thing that we're already giving way to. Well, you can't do that. So we need to know. We need to know that if we're going to resist, we're in a firm place to resist because I've already yielded to God and I'm not opening the door left and right. And so when we're talking about fear, we need to know not to open the door to fear. So don't go and expose ourselves to things, be around things that are fearful, that put fear into us, that show us fearful situations, and then wonder why we walk away and we're afraid. Okay, at that point we need to resist, but we could have resisted a little earlier by not exposing. That's the first line to resist right there. However, we got to the place, sometimes we're yielding to fear. Fear was embedded in us when we were 3 and we didn't even know it was happening. And so we're dealing with things now and we don't even know how it got in. You know, 3, 5, 7, 20. Okay, if we're dealing with it, then we need to know what to do with it. It doesn't have to stay. And so what do? We push back on it. When we get a hint of any fear in any of these forms, in any way, shape, or form, if it's stress, if it's, you know, a push, if it's all these words that we've read, the answer is not to accept and say, well, that's just the way I am. As long as I can remember, I just have anxiety. Anxiety is fear. Well, I don't know. That's just the way my brain is wired. I just have fear. I just am anxious. When I get in this situation, when I'm around people, when this happens, I just get anxious. I can't do anything about it. That's a lie. Fear got in somewhere, and it's been there so long that now we think And the world will tell us, when I mean the world system, things that I'm not saying it's intentional or people understand, it might be ignorant, but it contradicts the word of God, because we're going to read several scriptures. We already have. We have not been given a spirit of fear. We're going to read more scriptures about doing something about fear, about not fearing. And if you couldn't do anything about it, the Bible wouldn't tell us to do something about it. So we've got to parse the information that we get in this world, because it's subtle. And it can be well-meaning, but subtle and wrong. Yeah, it's not demonizing all the avenues where we might have heard it, but that doesn't help us get free. If we're a slave and there's a way out, I'd rather be out. But if something's telling me, yeah, you're a slave and that's where you're going to be, get used to it. Deal. Figure out how to manage. That's not getting us free. So we've got to understand that we've got to push back on it. When we sense it, when we see it in our lives, we've got to push back on it. Otherwise, it will make us a slave. It will dictate us, dictate what we do. And only you can push back in your life, and only I can push back in my life. Only I can resist fear, resist the devil. It is from Satan. It is from the devil. But one person can push back and be free. The next person says, I can't. And they're bound. And so the first step is to understand, well, the first thing is to understand this is a thing, that there is an enemy, that fear is from Satan, that it is something to be resisted, not tolerated, but resisted, actively resisted, push back. In other words, if it's coming at me, and I'm just like, there it is again. I don't know what to do. I'm anxious. I can't do anything. Make it stop. It won't stop by itself. Satan's a bully, and he'll push on us, and he'll destroy any part he can destroy is what he's going to destroy. And to say stop, he's merciless. The worst person you've ever heard of on the face of the earth, he's way worse. He inspired him. Merciless. So saying, make it stop, is just saying it's working. Bring it harder. You can't just make it stop. That's asking, would you stop? No, we have to resist and say, stop. There's a difference. Trying to get it to stop coming because of the goodwill of the devil is a fool's errand. We need to know what the Bible says. How do you resist? You go to what the Word of God says, which is why we're going over these scriptures. You know what it says, and now you go back with this. No. Because the Word of God says, I have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. I am pushing back on that fear, regardless of the form it takes. I'm just so anxious to go to this thing. I'm so anxious. Recognize its fear and say, no, God has not given me that spirit of fear. I have a spirit, a power, love, and a sound mind. I am the Lord's. He is mine. We're going to read more verses, and I am free from fear. Amen. And we can do this when we have every symptom of fear. Your knees can be knocking together, the hair on the back of your neck and on your arms can be standing up, and you can be shaken, and you can be totally afraid, and you can say, well, I'm already afraid, there's nothing I can do about it. Or you can say, no, I'm not going to let this dominate me, and you can still be shaken. Mm-hmm. And your mind is telling you, you can't control it. You say, I will not take this. Mm-hmm. I will not be afraid. And you can still be shaken. And if you stop and go, I guess I just can't control it, I guess it's just me, that just comes in like a flood and it will bind us for the rest of our life. As long as we give it place, it will bind us. But if we'll do what the Word of God says and push back and resist and say, no, I refuse. I believe God. It will leave. Mm-hmm. But you have to stand your ground. Look at Isaiah 41:10. It says, "Fear not, fear not, fear not." What if if I can't control it, there's no point in saying that. Fear not, this is God speaking. Children of Israel, applies to us. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Fear not, for I am with you. See that? Why am I not afraid? Because God's with me, because he said this, so I'm going to push back. God is my comforter. God is my source. He's with me, so I will not fear. We look at verses. We're going to go over some of them now, these verses that we've already gone over and these the ones we're going to go over now. We look at them and say, this is the truth. This is what I'm standing on. This is why I'm pushing back. And that's the ammo, if you will. That's the supply that's going to help us to actually walk in this. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Psalm 27:1. It says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" You could also say, "The Lord is my light, my salvation. What shall I fear?" The Lord is the strength of my life. Of what shall I be afraid? See, the Lord, we say, the Lord is the strength of my life. The Lord is my light, my salvation. What should I fear? In the presence of fear, when it's pushing on us, we go, "The Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" That means I'm not afraid. And you may be feeling afraid, but you're saying, "No, I believe what God said in his word. The Lord's the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Of what shall I be afraid?" Because the thoughts can be coming. This is what's going to happen. This is what's going to happen. This is what's going to happen. You know what's going to happen. It looks like that. And we have to say, "The Lord is the strength of my life. Of what should I be afraid?" And that includes this. In other words, I'm not going to be afraid. What is that? That's resisting. Amen. It's pushing back. It's saying, "No. No, I don't have to be afraid. Nope, I don't have to be anxious. Nope. Nope, I am going to get good rest. I am going to sleep well." Amen. Look at Matthew 6, verse 31. It says, "Therefore, do not worry." Jesus said, "Therefore, do not worry." Just got done saying all these things about the birds and the lilies, and they're taken care of. "Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear?'" You know, you think about those questions. Those are serious questions. If you don't know where you're going to get your next meal, that for most people would be a reason to worry. And Jesus said, "Don't do it." If he said, "Don't do it," that means we it's possible. Otherwise, he'd say, "Well, in this situation, I would worry too if I were you." That's not what he said. He said, "Therefore, do not worry, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for its day is its own trouble." You could say, "Don't fear about tomorrow. Don't fear about tomorrow. Don't fear about tomorrow. Don't fear about tomorrow." You might have to tell yourself, "Don't fear about tomorrow. Don't be anxious about tomorrow. Don't be anxious about that interview. Don't be anxious about that doctor's appointment. Don't be anxious about that meeting with the lawyer. Because God is my strength and my salvation. Why should I be afraid of that?" Amen. Somebody, you got to talk to yourself. I have to. This is resisting. If we go, it's just going on and it's a big deal and it's a big deal. And that won't change anything. That's right. It'll make it worse. That's Now you're up all night and you're tired and you're grumpy, and now you got to deal with the same thing you had to deal with before. But Jesus here told us, don't worry about it. Don't worry about tomorrow. He didn't say don't plan, don't do anything, but don't worry about it. Don't be anxious. Don't fear about what's coming. And the only way we're going to do that is we got to push. When we sense that fear across the board, whether it's a slight dread to complete panic, we need to say, no, no, that's not going to dictate my life. It's not going to control me, because for the amount of time I give it space in my mind, it is dictating what I do. And we shouldn't go, okay, 30 seconds, here you go. I'll give you 30 seconds, I'm gonna let loose and be super afraid, then I'm going to stop it. Why even give it 30 seconds? Stop and say no. No, and if you have to do it 100 times in a row, we got to do that. Push, no, 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 I believe God. Because if we only do it, it's coming like a machine gun, and we only do it 5 times, and the 6th time we say it's no use, guess what? It's going to be there. This is the battle that we go through in our minds. This is something that Satan will try to control people with. And this is the answer we have to push back. As the Lord said, John 14:25, another one. It says, these things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it. Everybody say, let it. So neither let it be afraid. Jesus said, I'm giving you my peace. Heavy duty peace. If it's the peace of God, then it will triumph over any anxiety, any fear. The fear may try to come in, but we have the peace of God. If we'll yield to it and say, Jesus has given me his peace. I have the Holy Spirit on the inside of me. His peace he's given to me. And so I am not going to let my heart be troubled. Your heart is tempted. You're tempted to let your heart be troubled. It's all you can do. It's pushing on you. And you say, no, I will not let it be troubled. I have the peace of God. I'm going to walk in his peace. You can praise the Lord. Praise God. Say verses like this. Push back on it. And just actively push it off. First Peter 5, verse 6 and 7, it says, therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Casting, casting, pushing off, casting all care, all fear onto him. What is that? That's resisting. It's trying to sit on your head. It's trying to permeate our being. We got to push it off. We have to cast it onto God. Because why? Because he cares for me. God is the strength of my life. God is my light and my salvation. I am taking this thing that's trying to sit on me and bring me into bondage and dictate my life, and I'm going to push it off. Oh, there's so many things that'll try to get that promise that you'll be free, and that it will relax you, and that it'll make you calm. But every single one of them, if it's not based on God's word, it comes with side effects. It might work for a little while. It might make us feel relaxed for a little while. Until you need it again, and you need it again, and you need it again. And then pretty soon there's other side effects. And pretty soon you're bound to it. And I can't do anything without it. And there's a better way. And there's no condemnation. There are different paths that God can help you, lead you through situations, regardless of where we are. But ultimately, His word is the answer to get us through. And here's a key. If we'll go to him and say, God, I'm dealing with this. Show me in my situation how to go forth. Show me how to walk this through. See, that's walking in faith. When we go and say, I don't know how to deal with this, and I run to something else, hoping it's going to solve the problem, so many times we get other problems. Because we didn't do it in faith. We didn't do it saying, God, you help me. You show me. He might lead you different paths or to do different things, but we've got to do it. I do it by faith, not doing it. Well, let me try this thing. Somebody said this will work. Well, that didn't work. Let me try this one. Let me do this. See, that's just running around. That's not looking to God saying, God, I believe you. I'm trusting you. It's saying, I got to find an answer. And it's so easy to go. Fear, listen to me, fear will drive you into that situation. Fear will tell you, if I don't do this, something else is going to happen. So it'll try to, I know I should do something. I got to believe God or I got to trust him, but I got to take care of this now. And it'll drive you into doing something that'll actually hook you and bind you. Because the reason you're doing it is not being led, it's because you're afraid of something else. And it puts you right into another bondage. There's situations where you can deal with something, you realize, well, the reason I got in this situation was because I was afraid of something. That thing never happened, but I'm left with the residue and the consequences of trying to fix that on my own. You know what? I mean, this happens all the time. People buy stuff. Why? Because it's going to go off sale. Somebody else is going to get it. You know that's a sales tactic. It won't be there tomorrow. What is that? Is that motivated because I really think I should? Now, there's times you've already done your research. You're ready. You pull the trigger. It could be there, but you're ready. There's other times like, I'm not yet, I'm not ready, but I don't want to miss out. What is that? Fear. Not asking for a show of hands. Anybody else besides me ever bought something because that you really shouldn't have bought because you thought it wasn't going to be there or you thought you needed to get it before whatever? Probably everybody in this room. So you know what it feels like. Well, that it's not just in buying stuff. It's like, I need to take care of this now. When we feel that pressure descending, I got to do, I'm afraid. You wouldn't say it's afraid, but what's the pressure? I'm feeling like I have to do something or what? If I'm at peace and there's nothing going on, I'm not thinking, oh, I got to do this. You know, if you're on vacation, go, oh, I got to go get another lemonade right now. No, nobody's ever done that, ever. It's like, I'm thirsty. I could go for another lemonade. Go get it now before they're all gone. It's like, I know where it is. It's in the refrigerator. I can get more. Not worried about it. If somebody said that to you, you'd be like, chill. What is your problem? But see, when we're in the middle of life sometimes, it's like, but I got to, and if we'll just back up and say, where's that coming from? What is that? What's that trying to get me to do? Is it trying to get me to go somewhere where, wait, you got to do it? Not so many times, and I've learned to identify that. See, wait, that's pressure. Oh, no, we're not moving. I'm not moving. I'm not doing anything. This is trying to get us into a position where we're messed up. So we've got to cast the care on him when we feel it. We've got to do something with it. We got to resist it. Don't let it drive us. In the Amplified Classic, it says, casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on him, for he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. That's the reason we're casting, is because we know that the Lord cares about us. We're going to read this last one. Philippians 4:4. Because this shows us So you're replacing, you're pushing back, you're replacing, you're actively doing something about it. All these things are showing us we've got to resist. The enemy, the source of the fear, and again, this applies across the board, but the source of the fear is Satan. We've got to do something. We've got to resist it. Otherwise, it will push in and it will dictate our life and it will be a bondage to us. Verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord. Always, again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing. For nothing. Be anxious or fear nothing. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So go to God. So something's pressing, we go to God. We thank Him. It says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. So we're not to be anxious. We're to push back. We're to go to God. And then it says, the peace of God, like a blanket that passes all understanding, that will be there. But now notice this next part. It said it will surpass all, peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. But look at verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So for you not to meditate on anything else, you will have to push back. If this is the only things that we're going to meditate on, then we're going to have to do something, because you know, as well as I do, the thoughts try to come in that are something else other than that list. Mm-hmm. How does that list only get in our head? It's not automatic. He's saying, think or meditate on these things. Well, you know, thoughts come. What are you going to do in order to not meditate on those things? No, I'm casting them off. No, I got to get them out. Otherwise, that list would not just be that list. It would be all the other junk that we're not supposed to meditate on it. So as it's coming, it's not an automatic thing that you're just blessed to not ever have those thoughts. No, everybody has fearful thoughts. Somebody's going, no, I don't. You will have thoughts come. If you're breathing on the earth, you are not exempt. I'm not exempt. The thoughts will come, but we've got to say, nope. And then it come, nope. Come, nope, and it might feel like it's unstoppable. But if we'll just say nope, because this verse is true, if I'm only going to meditate on these things, which it says, whatever things, put verse 8 again, 8 up again. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, right there, some things are not true and they're causing all kind of anxiety. Whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So anything on that, not on that list, I've got to move out. The way I move out is by resisting it. We need to know anything that's not on that list is not of God, and we need to recognize it. If it's not true, no. If it's not of good report, it might be true. It could be a fact, but it's not an outcome that's good. And I'm not going to meditate on that. It doesn't mean I'm ignoring it. It means, yes, that's true, but it's subject to change. I'm going to meditate on the good report. Amen. And if we'll use that as a filter, then we're saying anything not on this list, I push back on. And if we'll do that, it can't get a stronghold. And if it has a stronghold in us, it'll start to weaken. It'll start to lessen. And it maybe feel like it's impossible. There's no way. This is binding me. I've always been like this. But if we'll start to resist, we'll start little by little to see a change. Amen. Why? Because God's word says it. And He will help us to do it. And as we do this, His help is there. The Holy Spirit help is there. But if we say, I can't, He can't. But if we say, I will resist, then He's there to help us. And little by little by little, it will change to where we are not bound. Fear does not have a hold. And when it tries to come, we say, oh no, nope, I'm not doing it. And we push it away. We recognize it. That's God's will for us.